Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. What's the role of public transit in Vermont over the next two decades? Should the state aggressively work to develop some strong public transportation systems in the more rural parts of Vermont? And what's the cost of embarking on this project? And as Vermont's population ages, how will the demands for public transit change? And what are the consequences of not meeting these changes? Well, the Agency of Transportation is currently reviewing these and many other questions as part of its development of the 2019 Vermont Public Transit Plan, a document that will help guide policy for years to come. With us today are two people very involved in this project, Ross McDonald, who is the Public Transit Coordinator at AOT, and also Steve Fobel, who is the project manager for this effort. He's also president of Stedman Hill Consulting. Great to have you both here. It's a fabulous subject. Very interesting for our listeners.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
So, Ross, let's just start at the outset by letting folks know that you're still seeking public information and opinions and input on transportation issues. You've got a special website set up to do that. We have a link to that website at vpr.org. The importance of public input on this question.
Well, absolutely. Public transit in Vermont takes on a lot of forms. We have fixed route service, demand response type service we can talk about. But through it all, it really is about how are we serving the population. And we need to hear from the public, as you had started out, who is using public transit and why, who is not using public transit and why. That survey that is on your site, we really do encourage people to check that out and to provide their feedback. We are hearing some things that are expected, but also the perspectives from around the state are very important to receive.
Do you think it's realistic for the state to be able to put together a comprehensive statewide transportation plan, given that we've got areas like Burlington, Rutland, Montpelier, Barrie, Middlebury,
sure,
Bennington, Brattleboro, but we're also looking at the Northeast Kingdom?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about when you speak about public transit, where every town in Vermont receives a level of public transit through the demand response program. We have those who are elderly or with disabilities that qualify for trips to essential services and shopping. That is part of our public transit program. That's in addition to the 107 routes we have around the state along our major corridors and serving those denser areas. And those take shape in the commuter type services, the in-town circulators, tourism shuttles and the like. We also do look at communities to help us with volunteer drivers, and they perform a big, important service in our demand response trips. And so where it may not be traditional transit throughout our regions, we certainly have transit options and mobility options throughout the state right now.
And Steve, when you look at the challenges facing Vermont, as Ross was talking about in urban areas and rural areas, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges that the state faces in trying to put together this kind of public transportation plan?
The biggest demographic challenge we're facing is the aging of the population in Vermont. And Vermont ranks number 3 in the country in the average age of its population. We're following right behind Maine and New Hampshire. The average age in Vermont is 42.7 years. And only 20 years ago, Vermont was basically on par with the rest of the country at an average age of 33 years. But since that time, our population has gone well above the national average, mainly because of a low birth rate in the state, which is had fewer young people here and more retirees, and that's led to an older population. And of course, as the baby boom starts to get into their 70s and their 80s, that's going to create significant demands on public transportation. Already a large portion of the public transportation service, as Ross mentioned, is geared toward older adults and people with disabilities. And we expect that that older population, the people over 80 who would be most in need of public transit services, is going to increase by 60% over the next 10 years. It's about 110,000 people now, and 10 years from now, it'll be 175,000 people. And that's a significant challenge to meet those forecast needs.
And when you look at the needs of older Vermonters, how are they the same or different than perhaps younger Vermonters?
There is a lot of overlap. There's need for local service to get to shopping, to get to local errands, to get to medical appointments, and that applies to many Vermonters. For younger people, it's going to be mainly low-income people who don't have access to cars. Most Vermonters do have access to cars. People who live in rural areas, for the most part, drive to all of these things because there are no other options. But low-income Vermonters do face challenges in getting to those basic necessities. And so those are very much in common with older adults. Access to jobs is important. Older adults are likely not working as much as the younger population, but as the economy changes and jobs move more to metropolitan areas and leave our small towns and villages, allowing people to get to those jobs where maybe they used to be able to walk or have a short ride, but now suddenly they have to commute 30 miles, 40 miles, that's a real challenge that affects a large segment of the population.
And would it be a situation where in some areas where there are a large number of older people that enhanced ride sharing might be part of the solution as opposed to setting up more of a public transportation bus system?
Absolutely. Ride sharing is an important component all over the state in the urban areas as well as the rural areas. For the most rural parts of the state, we can't run traditional bus routes. It just does not make economic sense to have a fixed route, a specific bus alignment on a fixed schedule because there's just not enough people to fill the seats and make it economically viable. So the demand response transportation Ross was referring to, where people have to call in a day in advance to reserve a ride, and that's provided on demand, that is the main form of public transit in a lot of the rural parts of the state. And that can serve all segments of the population. A lot of the funding now is geared toward people over age of 60 and people with disabilities. That's in the shorthand of the transportation biz, that's called the E&D program. That's how we all refer to it. But it affects that segment of the population who are generally most in need of public transit.
Today in the program, we're looking at Vermont's transportation needs for public transit over the next 10, 15, 20 years. What are your thoughts on this subject? What do you think would be helpful? What appeals to you? What would you like to see the state do? Trains, buses, ride sharing? Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. The state is putting together a transportation plan that will help guide policy for the next decade or so. Agency of Transportation is very interested in getting feedback from you about this, so let us know at 1-800-639-2211. Let's start off with Sabrina, who is calling from Burlington. Hi, Sabrina. Welcome to the program.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for this show. It's extremely important, and I appreciate it. I am an older woman, and I refuse to own a car. I just don't believe in them. I've set my life up specifically so I can ride the bus and do on a very regular basis, both for work and other things like shopping. I would like to see more of the ridership involved. I appreciate the recent changes that have happened to the system. However, I do think that perhaps some of the decisions made are made by people who never ride the bus, which is unfortunate. And I think that every opportunity that arises should be looked at by the transportation system, including everything you've mentioned. And I would also like to see more electric vehicles on the road, particularly in the more rural place or more metropolitan spaces in town where they'd be, more effective. Again, I truly do appreciate the services. I've been riding for 25 years ever since I got here, and I thank you for this opportunity to have the public's input put in. Thanks so much, gentlemen. I hope you enjoy your day.
All right, Sabrina, thanks very much for your phone call. Ross, a couple of issues there. One, electric vehicles. We sort of could break that down into several parts. One is the state is encouraging more Vermonters to actually purchase electric vehicles. Right now, I think there are about 3,000 in the state. The goal is to get to 50,000 in 6 years, a very ambitious goal. And another part of that is using some of the Volkswagen settlement money for electric buses and to see how those do, because Vermont's got an unusual climate. Tell us about the role of electric vehicles in this whole project.
Sure. Public transit does have a role to play in the electrification of our transportation system. Just as we're supportive of EVs for your personal vehicle, we've made some investments for both our urban area, Burlington, and our more rural areas, where we'll be receiving 4 electric buses over the next year and a half, and we'll be really testing those in this hilly, cold climate. Many of these vehicles haven't been in operation in this type of climate, so we're looking forward to seeing what that looks like. But we remain in this space and seeing what that's going to look like. They are expensive. We do need to address the funding difference between a regular bus versus an EV bus, looking at ways to maybe fund that delta. However, we are well on our way to having these vehicles on the road in Vermont in just the next few months.
And the idea that the state could get to 50,000 electric vehicles by 2025, is that in any way working at cross purposes of what you're doing? Because at least that effort is still putting a person in a car as opposed to public transit.
Well, yeah, we're always looking at the single occupancy vehicle, whether it be electric or gas, and how can we convince somebody to move away from their own SOV or single occupancy vehicle and utilize the bus service. But we don't look at EVs as being anything other than part of the efficiency process and something that we would support across agency sections and programs.
Let's turn to Eve, who'd like to talk to us, and Eve is calling from Montpelier. Hi, Eve. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm calling because I would love to see a statewide plan that supports public transit, because what I'm seeing in Montpelier is that the city and the central Vermont communities just don't seem to be able to come up with anything on their own. It's really difficult to get around central Vermont by public transportation, and we're a one-car family, so I'm often without a car, and I can get a lot of places walking. But if I want to go to Burlington or Waterbury on the weekend or the evening, the public transit system isn't set up for that. It's all set up for commuters to come into Montpelier. But there's nothing to help Montpelier people avoid using their cars to get other places.
Eve, great question. Thanks for calling. Steve, does the plan look at sort of commuter priorities and then non-commuting priorities?
Absolutely. The last fall, we did a bunch of public outreach through an online survey and meetings all around the state and talking to key stakeholders from various agencies. And one thing we heard loud and clear was that people wanted more service in many different ways. They wanted more areas served. They wanted service near their houses and near their destinations. They wanted more frequent service, and they wanted longer hours of service, and that includes evenings and weekends. And those were the top 4 priorities that we found on the online survey we did back in the fall, where we had 1,200 responses from all over the state. That being said, it's difficult to allocate funds to provide bus services, fixed-route bus services in off-peak periods, such as weekends and evenings, when there are not as many riders to fill those buses. It certainly would be convenient for those people who do it, but given that there were a rural state and there are just not that many people around, we know that those vehicles, if they're running at those times and weekends, would be mostly empty until such time as the public comes to a realization that driving cars is contributing to climate change, and we all have to change our behavior to do that. that without a significant price signal, such as gasoline becoming a lot more expensive or something else drastic to happen to sort of shake people out of the routine, the amount of people who would want to use a service on weekends is still going to be limited. There are certainly people who would do it. But at this point, at this time, there's not enough to be able to justify running buses at those times.
You know, Ross, Steve brings up a really important point, and it's a snapshot in time. What are gas prices? What's the story? The other factors that can play such a huge role. I mean, we saw any number of years ago when gas prices went through the roof, all of a sudden people wanted smaller cars. They were really concerned about gas mileage. Then all of a sudden gas prices go down and we see SUV sales and big trucks are selling again. How do you factor all of this in? Because you've got this sort of unknown factor that could just turn everything on its head. As Steve said, if all of a sudden gas prices just skyrocketed and there was an oil shortage because of a war somewhere in the United States or otherwise, I mean, you could change this thing on a dime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as Eve speaks about these gaps in service, there is a very little chance of us being able to invest our way out through traditional transit to get everybody where they want to get to when they need to get there. But no question, when gas prices rise, the hits to our GoVermont site, a one-click, one-call resource for bus schedules and carpool matching services, park-and-ride locations and the like, those will spike as well. And you can see that correlation. We do stand in a pretty good position compared to other rural states if some disruption like that was to occur. We receive funds from a few sources, and one of those would be federal transit monies. And we receive about $8 million for that, for our transit program. In Vermont, unlike so many other states, we match that $8 million with state funds. And we also pull in a large percentage of dollars in our budget from our federal highway monies, which are the bridges and roads section. As a result, we have a $36 million budget providing those 5 million trips roughly every year, where most rural states, they would look at that $8 million from transit and just try to do the bare minimum with those funds. So in Vermont, while we stand in a better position than others, no question, there will be gaps in services no matter where you are.
As part of this project, I did a quick analysis comparing how Vermont supports public transit compared to other similarly rural states. So I looked at about 10 other states which had a similar amount of rural population as Vermont, and it turns out that Vermont spends about 10 times the number of dollars per capita as those other rural states. That's not to say we don't have a lot of unmet needs. We clearly do. But Vermont has been very proactive and very progressive in terms of allocating funds to support public transit for rural areas.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today in the program, we're looking at public transportation in the state of Vermont. And where should it go in the next 10, 15, or 20 years? The State Agency of Transportation is putting together a draft plan right now, seeking your input. There's a link at our website, vpr.org, if you'd like to take that survey and let folks know what your needs are and how you think the state should respond to this issue. With us today, Ross McDonald, who is the public transit coordinator at AOT, and Steve Fobel, who is the project manager for this effort. Once again, our phone number, 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to Peter, who's calling from Brattleboro. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hi. So I just wanted to say that I've been without a car for about the past year and a half, and I've just saved up enough to buy myself a secondhand car. The bus transportation service here in Brattleboro has been an absolute godsend. I do want to make the point, and I think it's very important, that we need to increase ridership. And the way to do that, I think, is to make the general public much more aware of how useful the bus service is and you know, all the different points that it services, all the different stops and so forth. We really need to increase ridership, and I think the way to do that is with advertising. of some kind.
Okay, Peter, thanks very much for your phone call. Ross, as you survey people about public transportation in Vermont, what is the level of awareness? It's probably different in different parts of the state, but as Peter mentioned, do you think there are a lot of folks who just don't know what their opportunities are?
We think so. Very often we get in our routines and don't think about other options because you're already served by your car. But as Peter had mentioned, you lose a car and all of a sudden these transit services can reveal themselves to be very useful. Through our Go Vermont program, we do promote not only transit but ride sharing, our vanpool program. This year we'll be undertaking a year-long ad campaign to promote public transit writ large. And certainly at that community level where Peter is, talking about going to these community organizations and having them help and spread this network of advocacy, if you will, to talk about these stories, whether it's Eve or Peter utilizing the bus and getting away with less or fewer cars or less trips. Those are all important to know. Peter's also right. We do need to increase ridership. The best way to improve and to expand services is by having successful services on the road right now. And there are seats on those buses that could be filled, no question.
Steve, you mentioned that you had studied, I think, 10 other rural states to see spending levels on public transportation. When you did that study, did you see any programs in any of those states that you said, you know, that could work in Vermont?
We did, at the beginning of the project, do a nationwide literature search looking at other statewide plans, and there are some elements of plans out there that we are bringing into this plan. But Vermont is really a national leader when it comes to public transit in rural areas. So there's not a lot we haven't thought of already and tried, but we are doing an exhaustive search for other new ideas. And what's really changing very quickly nowadays is technology and the ways that technology can facilitate access to public transportation. You know, just a few years ago, you couldn't have a smartphone and request a ride in an urban area as you can now with Uber and Lyft and companies like that. Uber and Lyft don't have a big presence yet in Vermont. They are in Chittenden County and in a few other areas. But we are thinking about and writing about in the plan a future where in all rural areas you will have a sort of smartphone app, which you can also use the telephone if you don't happen to have a smartphone. But ways to schedule rides on demand in real time, where you don't have to call a day in advance or 2 days in advance to schedule a ride. And we think that will make it much more accessible to people and much more attractive to people to take advantage of public transportation. And awareness of existing services is a major theme, and we know that people at this point are not aware of what's out there. There have been surveys of older adults in Vermont, and by and large, they are still driving, and by and large, they have fears about what happens when I can't drive anymore. And they have, to this point, not researched public transit because they haven't had to. That's why they're living in fear of the day that they can no longer drive. But part of this project and part of the efforts coming out of the project are to find ways to increase awareness of existing services out there so people can plan for it, so people don't have to be fearful about being stranded when they get older and can't drive anymore. So that's a very important theme.
Let's go back to our callers. Lots of folks interested in commenting about public transit in the state of Vermont. So let's talk to Bob, who's calling from Thedford. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for the show and taking my call. In Thedford and probably a lot of other small towns, we have down in the Upper Valley really great transit, but not much up in our town. One stagecoach thing goes through at the park and ride. But I'm wondering, to reach the more rural parts of towns, if you've considered a system of smaller electric vans that might be 6 or 8, 10 people that could make 2 or 3 runs during the rush hours on either end and then be available on an on-call basis during the day.
Ross, is that a possibility?
All those possibilities or any possibility can be considered at that local level. And we work with towns and energy committees and local committees to figure out what would work in their towns. For example, Bob talking in Thetford, having a few right-sized vehicles, if you will, to provide some connections to the trunk service that he mentioned from Stagecoach. That could happen, as Stephen mentioned. We would need some some participation and some interest from those local efforts and conversations. But those are things that we would look to consider. And when we think about these technologies, this micro-transit approach that Steve touched upon, that is what we are running toward, is if there could be a demand response service so that the bus isn't running without people on it, but just as needed. We've spoken to some communities who have thought maybe they would offer that type of demand response service 2 days a week with maybe their own vehicles using a CarShare Vermont type software. We're considering a pilot like that. We have used technology to provide better information for our bus services. And on the GoVermont site, there's the Trip Planner, which connects you to all the transit services as well. So it does start with, do people understand and have the information on current services? And then are we engaged with these communities to see if there's a way of filling in those gaps with non-traditional approaches that Bob mentions?
It's also important to remember that the amount of service that can be provided ultimately comes down to the amount of money available, and that a small vehicle is not that much cheaper than running a large vehicle because the majority of the cost is the driver and the support for that vehicle. More than half of the operating cost is just the driver. So running a small bus is not a whole lot cheaper than running a big bus or even just a van. Until we get to the point where we'd have autonomous vehicles running around without a driver at all, the labor cost is not going to change that much. And autonomous vehicles are probably many years off, and especially in Vermont, where we have more than half the roadway mileage is dirt roads and no one has figured out how to run autonomous vehicles on dirt roads yet, it's not a near-term solution.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Ken, who's calling from Newfane. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Calling about... originally calling about like bus corridors and, you know, what's doing with that. For instance, Newfane off of Route 30, the earlier caller calling out of Brattleboro. You know, we've on the Planning Commission here in Newfane talked a lot about the corridor that could be possible between Brattleboro and, say, Manchester or even further north. And I'm hearing the direction of the conversation in terms of other kinds of on-demand. But so that's one thread of the question. The other thread is just the cost issue. Are we looking to break even? Do we have to make a profit? Even if we lose some money, isn't it? Don't we make that up in economic development, attracting younger people, and that type of thing?
Great question, Ken. Steve?
First of all, there is no public transit route in the state that breaks even. The best public transit route in the state makes about 55% of its operating costs back. That's the Montpelier-Burlington Link Express route, which charges, you know, $4 per passenger and has good loads, a large number of people in both directions. Most of the bus routes in the state make 10% or less back based on fare revenue, and there are many bus routes in the state that don't charge fares at all. So this is, many people wonder about profitability on bus routes, and basically the answer is there are no profitable bus routes. It is all publicly subsidized for public transit. The only profitable service that would be in the state would be things like Megabus, long-term, long-distance express routes to other cities. That's what's profitable. But regular local public transit is never profitable and hasn't been for decades and decades.
And truly, this is why we invest in public transit, is for all those other items that Ken mentions, the economic opportunities, the job access, the access to essential services, allowing people to age in place and the like. Those are deemed to be worth those investments. Right now, every trip on average requires about a $7 investment from our taxpayers and our local funders.
Ross, I thought I read somewhere, you mentioned $8 million in federal funds. I thought I read somewhere, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the state has about $35 million yeah. in state and federal funding for public transit. What's it going to take? I mean, if you could put your dream plan into place, what's it going to take monetarily to make that happen?
Well, it's difficult to say at this point with the technological revolution upon us and changing the way we get around, the autonomous vehicle, the electric vehicle, people telecommuting even. There's a lot of nuances to those current services. And as we look to the future, what I'd like to focus on is the efficiency of our current service and fix it first, and certainly see what we can do on those existing investments. Can we get more efficient? Can we provide a better ridership experience through better information and technologies? We just launched a statewide automated vehicle location service, which is anybody can look on their phones or call up and find out where their bus is related to any stop they may be at, assuaging a number one concern of, did I just miss my bus? So that's what we're trying to focus on is can we provide more efficiencies and can we provide a better ridership experience? If that grows ridership, then what does that next step look like? We hope would reveal itself and as what we're learning through in the plan here.
I want to put a plug in here for the state's volunteer driver programs because these are by far the most cost-effective way of providing public transit service, especially in rural areas. All of the state's public transit providers have a volunteer program or one in their region. They can all be found on the GoVermont website. And if anyone wants to learn more about becoming a volunteer, I encourage them to go to GoVermont, find their local transit provider if they don't know who it is, give them a call, say, I might be interested in being a volunteer driver. I have some time. You can get a reimbursement for mileage. This is a critical aspect of public transit, especially in places like the Northeast Kingdom, in Windsor County, Windham County, all over the state, really, to be able to stretch those available dollars and get people to where they need to go.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today in the program, looking at transportation policies in the future. What should it look like in Vermont? The state right now putting together the draft public transit policy plan. What kind of policies should guide us in the future? With us today, Ross McDonald, who is public transit coordinator at AOT, and also Steve Fobel, who is the project manager for this effort. Love to get your thoughts on this. 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to Lorraine, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I work at a rural middle school just outside of town, and we have what I see as a problem of the single occupancy vehicle dropping off kids in the morning and picking them up in the afternoon. And so this year, I'm teaching climate change in my science classes, starting with a unit on transportation, and I'm hoping to get the kids excited about transportation in particular, but then also potentially finding a solution to what I see as a problem with the pickup and drop-off. Do you have any tips or things we should look at or resources we can look through?
Ross?
We do. When we look at school kids and transportation, we're taking an approach similar to maybe the recycling movement of the 70s, and as a result, we've been able to fund and provide a program called Way to Go. Way to Go is a commuter challenge for schools specifically to see how they can help children take safe trips to school by biking, by walking, taking the bus that's available. Those types of actions really do have some efficiencies, and that's something that also, if schools feel like there aren't enough safe routes to their school, we also offer some assistance there to help them incorporate traffic calming practices and different ways to make sure that the kids can access school in an efficient way. part of this program is the Vermont Energy Education Program, and they have curriculum available for schools so that students can understand the environmental footprint associated with transportation as well as the true cost, which can be $8,000 for every car in our driveway.
And Steve, a lot of people are thinking about greenhouse gas emissions in the state of Vermont. I believe the transportation sector in Vermont is responsible for about 45% of all emissions. How does that factor into public transit? Could it have a dent in that area?
It could. Public transit is definitely part of an overall strategy that the state would have to take to make significant dent in greenhouse gas emissions. Technology is certainly a major component of that. The electric vehicles we talked about before can have a major reduction at the tailpipe in greenhouse gas emissions. Public transit on its own has a hard time of making a dent, but when you consider public transit in coordination with changes in land use and development in the state so that we have more housing and more affordable housing in our towns and villages, so that you have greater collections of people, then you can talk about having more bus routes available, which can provide very efficient ways for people to get from town to town, to get to work, to get to shopping. So housing is a major component of making the transportation system more viable. And housing also is related to infrastructure, sewer and water systems. Those are necessary for our towns and villages to accommodate more housing at this point. Even if a town wanted to have more housing, its sewer system, if it has one, may not be able to accommodate it. And so we need to invest in that infrastructure. We need to do that now to be able to have housing over the next 5 to 10 years so that those older adults I talked about at the beginning of the show, so that they have an option if they want to move into a town or village so that they could walk to places rather than having to drive or having to get rides from where they might live now in a rural village or a rural town off in the hills somewhere. We want to at least allow them the option to move into a town or village, but a lot has to happen to get there in terms of infrastructure and development, and then public transit is an integral component of making the whole system work.
Let's talk to Kathy, who's calling from Middlesex. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have a question also about local school buses. Has anyone considered using school buses to transport other people, either at the time children are on it, going to and from school, or during the middle of the day when every child is already at school? I mean, I live in Middlesex. School buses go all over on all the rural roads, summer and winter, spring and winter. And why is that not a solution? Has it been considered? Thank you.
Ross?
Sure. Something we hear quite a bit. It is being considered and it is implemented in certain areas around the state. Many times public transit routes will take into account a school's schedule and incorporate that into a route. The Wilmington area comes to mind. Burlington, the urban system, certainly provides school transportation on their services as well. There are conflicts and challenges, but we've been trying to see if there are ways to efficiently incorporate school kids into our transit services, maybe a little less so of school buses trying to take on public transit services. But I know it's something that Steve has looked at in his plan and something that we've discussed over the years.
Let's talk to Brooke, who's calling from Colchester. Hey, Brooke, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is, as a resident of Colchester, I am curious why creating a bus line through that town has not been prioritized. I work in Winooski. I know there's a bus line that goes, you know, down Mallets Bay, and there's a bus line through Burlington. But why has not that been funded? And also, in regards to being bike friendly, the town of Colchester, you know, Mallets Bay itself, you can't safely ride down that road. So, yeah, that's my question.
That's a great question. Colchester is probably the largest gap in public transit service in Chittenden County. There is service on Route 15 through a portion of Colchester, but not the part you're talking about. There have been plans on the books with Green Mountain Transit and before that CCTA to offer service in Colchester. At this point, Colchester is not yet a member community of Green Mountain Transit, and because it's not a member community, it becomes difficult to get the local funding to help support that kind of service. So it would be a question of a large number of Colchester residents working with the select board to decide to become a member of Green Mountain Transit, and then some of those plans that have been on the books can be implemented as funding becomes available.
Yeah, in general, our routes are funded with about 20% what we call local match. And our providers, the seven providers around the state, will work with the local business communities and employment centers and the like, as well as fares, to try to come up with that 20-25% of local match. Without a willing partner at the local level, it is difficult to provide service to those towns.
Let's talk to Linda, who's calling from Vernon. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi. It's an interesting program and a timely one. I just wanted you to know that Vernon has its own little minivan that provides transportation for anyone who needs it to go shopping or doctor's appointments. There's a schedule for outings that go down to the mall, local mall, over to Keene, which is nearby. And it's funded by a capital plan budget that budgets for a new van every so often when it's needed. And people pay $2 a ride to go in and out. And then it's budgeted annually for the expenses for the driver. So that helps out. But there is nothing for people who want to go back and forth to work. And that is a need. We're only 10 miles from Brattleboro, but there is no way for people to get back and forth to work. So we're fortunate that we have some transportation, but we need more transportation.
Linda, thanks very much for your phone call. We're going to see if we can get a very quick call in from John, who is calling from White River Junction. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm very interested in your program. My question is whether commuter rail, we seem to have more rail than any other New England state, and whether commuter rail is being considered in their plan.
Ross, where is commuter rail in all of this?
Commuter rail is something that has been talked about for a few years in the state. Just this past legislative session, we were charged with producing a report to study the viability, feasibility of commuter rail along corridors in Vermont. Certainly, from a current public transit perspective, our buses are a little more flexible. They can travel on roads, maybe serve more areas. But if there's a role for commuter rail to play, we want to understand that. And we'll be studying that over the summer and preparing testimony for this upcoming legislative season.
Earlier in this decade, I did a quick study of commuter rail and looking at the cost of it. Of course, Vermont had a commuter rail line, the Champlain Flyer, back in the early 2000s. And if you look at the cost per hour of commuter rail versus bus, it's not a pretty comparison because the cost per hour for commuter rail is about $2,000 an hour, while the cost to run a bus is about $75 per hour. So any commuter rail would have to have a very, very strong ridership base to be economically viable.
Ross, we've got about 30 seconds left. Where do you go from here? Are you hoping folks, we're encouraging them to take the survey, and they can find that at vpr.org, and then what happens?
And then we're going to take those results along with the analyses and study that Steve has done, package that into this plan, and really use it as a tool as we consider options and opportunities in the future. We've increased inter-city bus service. We've increased our elderly and disabled demand response programs as a result of past plans. We expect this plan to also help us guide our investments in the future.
Very good. Many thanks to both of you for coming by for a very important discussion about the future of public transit in Vermont. Ross McDonald, also Steve Fauble, thank you very much for being part of the program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And listeners, if you want to add your voice to the online survey, there is a link at our website at vpr.org.